Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Crosshairs Radio. Today on the show we have two rising stars in American cycling. First we're going to start out with Curtis White. Curtis has finished this year on the podiums of the KMC Cyclocross Festival in Providence, also in Gloucester, and just this past weekend he swept both days of Charm City Cyclocross in Baltimore. Curtis races for CannondaleCyclocrossWorld.com. We had an opportunity to speak with him after his race in Baltimore on Saturday. We also had the opportunity to talk to Curtis's sister, Emma White. Emma White coming off an amazing experience in September, winning silver medals in the Road World Race for the junior women and also in the time trial race. She came straight out of Rhodes right in to cyclocross, getting fifth place at the Providence Cyclocross Festival, and then swept the weekend at Baltimore just like her brother. So four wins for the Whites. They were also down there with their younger brother and their dad, had a nice little setup at Baltimore. I caught up with Emma on Monday, so I didn't hold them up when they were trying to leave town and head back to upstate New York on Sunday. Once again, want to take the opportunity to thank everybody for checking out the show and listening and telling their friends, tweeting it out, putting it on Facebook, all kinds of social media. The more listeners we get, the better opportunity we have to bring in sponsors and advertising and all the stuff that makes it possible for the show to happen. You can also visit crosshaircycling.com/shop or svennis.com or cyclocrossbook.com. Have products, books, spikes. We're going to have bells by Spur Cycle available soon. Every little bit helps, so pick up a shirt, pick up a bell. It all goes towards server costs and everything that we need to pay to make sure we get this show up and to you. Also, give us a follow at CX Hairs on Instagram and Twitter, and in the crosshair, cxhairs.com on Facebook. And finally, give us a like and a review over on iTunes. That helps the show get out to more people and gets it higher in the rankings for cycling and sports podcasts. All right, let's talk to Curtis.
I grew up in upstate New York, kind of, you know, born and raised, always lived up there. I started racing when I was about 9 years old. My dad was really big into crew. You know, he didn't really come from a bike racing background, but he did cycling as kind of a means of training for rowing. You know, my mom was very active as well. She did a few triathlons, a few outward bound courses. So when I was younger, my dad kind of, you know, as he would have liked to, kind of pushed me towards crew, and crew's fun and all. I enjoy it, and it's
You actually started racing crew for a while.
I never raced it. Okay. But, you know, my dad coaches at, where I go to college. Yeah. So he's always coached there. So, you know, I was always down at the boathouse, and he had, you know, a bunch of ergs, a bunch of rowing machines right down there. And I always hop on them and just, you know, rip on them and see, you know, what numbers I could pull.
Was he impressed with the numbers that he saw?
Yeah. I could pull some decent numbers, but it's well and good. You know, it's good training for cross, and, you know, I think it helps with back stability, but it's just, you know, I'd rather like to see where I'm going.
Right, so your dad got you into just riding bikes and then also into racing them?
I think his crew background kind of gave me, you know, an introduction to high-intensity sports.
Okay.
So he had a couple old bike jerseys, a few VHS tapes from, you know, Sean Kelly or Eddie Merckx, just, you know,
right,
you know, really the greats. And I just watched him and kind of, I really liked what I saw, so I just... He took me on the bike rides a couple times and really took off from there. We Googled where the nearest bike race was. It was the Chris Thader Memorial Crit.
Yeah.
Started there, got a flyer for another race, kind of showed up to the next one, and it took off from there.
So starting on the road.
Mm-hmm. But it was really one season of road. Heard from a friend, like, yeah, you know, I was, you know, crit racing, road racing is fun, but you got to try a cyclocross. So it was probably 9 years old. And I started racing cyclocross then.
So where was that? What races were you doing?
Really local New England stuff. A lot of the, probably Nycross wasn't around there, but the, you know, the local New York cyclocross club, you know, they had a good series going. lot of the Verge New England series. That was huge. And then the first year I raced cross was the first year of cross nationals in Providence, Rhode Island.
Right, okay.
When it was really icy and cold, and I loved it there. It was great.
So were you successful from the go? I mean, did you just take to it right away?
I really took to it right away. It was great. I loved every aspect of it, especially in the Northeast. I think we're pretty grateful to have that scene. They do a really great job of kind of nurturing young talent, and you know, back then there was a lot of good you know families and other racers just really into it. There's a lot of juniors racing, and I think I was really grateful or really fortunate to be a part of that scene.
So mentoring wise, were there any other riders that sort of took you under your wing when you were coming up in that scene, or just you and your dad and just figuring it out on your own?
Everyone was really personable in the New England scene. When I was 12, 13, 14 years old, you know, I saw Powers was still in the Jilly Billy kit back then. And, you know, I see someone bunny hopping and oh, you know, he says hi or something at a race, and Tim Johnson was racing. I mean, he forgot, but one time when the Nine Ball Diaries came out, I got an autographed DVD, and he completely forgot. It was just a kid who got an autograph back then. But there's a lot of people who helped me out along the way, so it was great. I mean, my dad came from a rowing background. He didn't know much about cycling, so we wanted to learn as much as we could.
And your dad's helping you get the start, he's also like working for the pits. It must have been a learning experience for him too to get sort of thrown into that culture and that type of racing.
Oh, for sure, yeah. We both kind of went into it not knowing what to expect and just learning every step of the way. Everything that I learned, he learned as well, and it was a really good team that way, you know.
And then, so how much older than Emma are you?
I am a year and a half older than
okay.
her.
Okay. So when did...
No, almost 2 years
okay.
old. Sorry.
So when did she start? So when did this quickly become sort of a family affair out there at races?
Right from the get-go.
Okay.
Not everyone was racing. When I first started racing, I'm the oldest of five kids. So we would always, you know, we loaded up the van, and I was the only one racing at one point. And my dad would kind of help me along, and then my mom would just kind of look after everyone else. And they'd be cheering at all the races, and it was great. And then Emma at some point figured out, like, hey, I want to do this. So she jumped into a kid's race. I remember one kid's race. We were at Windham Mountain. You know, before it was a World Cup mountain bike race, it was a big mountain bike race.
Yeah.
It was just a local mountain bike race at that point. And she jumped into the boys' race. And it was, you know, three laps of this circuit. And it was absolutely phenomenal. She was probably 7 or 8. And, you know, there was a boy her age. And they come around the last corner, and Emma takes him on the inside, stuffs him in the corner. He almost wipes out, but she wins by a couple bike lengths, and it was phenomenal.
Nice.
I mean, that was when she was like 7 or 8.
That's awesome.
So she just had that drive, and again, it took off for her like that. And then I have two younger sisters. They're not so much into racing. They come to the races. They understand cycling. They understand it all, but they're not into it. They ride horses. And then Harrison's the youngest of five.
Okay, so he's the youngest, and he was out here racing today.
Yeah, he was racing in the he's race age 15 now. Mm-hmm. So he's been racing for a few years, and he's really taken off with it, and he's loving it.
As you progress through racing through your junior years, absolutely successful, one of the fastest in the country. Gonna jump right into it here. Logan Owen, racing against him always, finishing second in nationals. How do you deal with that? What's the mental take on that? How do you, because obviously now you're on one of if not the best and the biggest team in the U.S. so you've gotten through that, but what did it take, and what was that competition like, and did it ever get you down? That guy was out there.
It never really got me down. You know, he's certainly a very talented guy, and you know, I think it was good to have that as a benchmark. You know, I think, you know, he really pushed me to be faster, and I like to think I kind of pushed him to be faster. So certainly later years in the junior years, we were the top two guys. We would always go make the World Cup trips. We were 1-2 at nationals, and I was always kind of chasing him down. And so last year was, I think, really the first year I felt like I could race at that level consistently.
Yeah.
And certainly this year I haven't raced against him on the cross bike yet, but certainly right now with the way things are looking, I feel like I'm at that level. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that takes me this year.
What was the change from last year going into this year? I'm assuming power-wise and just number-wise and strength, you're stronger, but then also top 20 in a World Cup. You're finishing on the podium of every UCI race that you enter. You're racing with Jeremy at the front of these races. Anything happened between last year or this year? Is just this natural progression?
I think there's a few things. I mean, natural progression. I think, you know, I'm still growing as a rider and a racer. I'm still putting on muscle, and that's certainly it. This is my first, or this past road season was my first year on a pro road team, racing with Optum, presented by Kelly Benefit Strategies.
Right.
A lot of great races. The team treated me well. Did a lot of, you know, quite a few big blocks of racing, and the schedule was such that they kind of built my schedule around what worked for me, which is great. You know, a lot of heavy racing when I felt like I needed to. So I got that in, and then there was also a change in coaching. I'm working with a guy named Frank McCormick. Mm-hmm. You know, who's really
Absolutely.
Old school. Yep. You've heard the name.
Of course.
He's certified badass, won everything.
Right.
And once he won everything, he won it again. He was just, you know. So, again, really fortunate to have someone like that on my side. And working with him, it was a few big changes in how I'm training, how I'm thinking about racing, how I'm riding, just building power. So that was, I think that was a big difference. Also, I think having someone like Frank, he lives just over 2 hours from me, just outside of Worcester, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in upstate New York, so he came out to my house, saw where I trained. I've been out to his house training with him. He has a few sons, ride with them a bunch. He got me into racing mountain bikes in August. So there was a few things that I'm really excited about, and I'm sure that have contributed to this.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with somebody like Frank McCormack, who has that reputation of just being that hard racer who's not going to give anything, I really think that in these early races, especially at Nittany, a race you didn't win, but there was a move in there that I noticed. You may not even notice it happening, but you were with this chasing group, and they were coming up. You were coming by the pits, and you just took this inside line and just sort of crushed it around these guys with about an inch, and it was really a take-no-prisoners type move, which isn't the type of thing I think in the past you probably would have done, and it seems like there's definitely a more, you know, racing clean but still racing aggressive mentality that you have.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Certainly with working with Frank, there's a lot of lessons, you know, recognizing what battles I have to win and the position I have to be in going in a certain part of the course. And, I remember that it was just before like a log section going into the woods on Nittany. And, I felt like I was sitting second wheel, but that wasn't good enough. I needed to win through that section. I may not have been the fastest through that, but if I could dictate the pace through that, it would work out for me, going into the finish. So that was one of those things that Frank imparted on me.
In today's race, it looked like you really were thinking about what you wanted to do in the race. It looked like in the beginning you had a group of about 8 or 10 guys and you went out front and really wanted to break that up and make it into a smaller group. And once it got into that smaller group, it seemed like you really were dictating what was going on, even from second and third wheel. Like, you would go up front, and the one time I noticed was like later in there where you a couple times coming up the finishing stretch, you were just putting in an effort and trying to line everything out and just get a gap. And then after that, one of those times you sat up, and that's when Liverman attacked you all on the finishing stretch. Are these type of things that you're feeling it through the race, or do you come in with a plan like this is what I need to do? These are, you know, Cam Dodge is out there, Liverman, these are the guys. It seems like you're really a much mentally much stronger and really dictating the race and able to do that, especially at a young age still.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like especially this year, another jump that I've made was able to think about these situations in a more tactical sense and think about it more during the race. I felt like, I mean, there have been times that, like Nittany, for example, the group got big, maybe too big for my liking, and, you know, I get in a bad position, and it wasn't a good position for me. So I feel like I know when to kind of put the hammer down, know where I need to be and what position I need to be in when it's good for me. you know, kind of learning to race a little bit more selfishly, which is good, but I think that's what I need to do.
So this year, some of the conversations that I've had with Powers, one of his big things that he likes to stress is that it's great to be on the front row of the World Cup. It's great to be ranked top 10, but that for him, that's all good and fine, but that's no longer his goal. Now he has bigger goals than that. Is that something similar to what you're going through in that now you're up there, you're on Power's wheel, you're at the front of the race? At some point it must have been like, holy cow, this is great. I'm up here racing with these dudes that I've, you know, looked up to in the past. Is it beyond that now? Is it now like, all right, I need to now like figure out how to beat these guys?
Yeah, I was kind of at that level. Going into the season, I felt like I was making a good jump, but the most important thing for me was to be as consistent as possible. You know, it's all well and good if I could pull a podium here or a win there, but I want to be able to do it as often as I can. So I'm very happy with where things have gone. You know, I've podiumed the last few weekends, and I think I've proven that I can be there, and I'm really happy with that. But at this point, I just want to keep growing and be the best I can be at this moment. Yeah.
What are your season goals? I mean, let me just rephrase this in that one of the things that you're dealing with is you're a full-time student, and you have that, and you're doing racing on top of it. You're not a master's racer. Those guys have jobs, and they come out here and race, you know, and there are a couple guys down there who also have jobs and race because they don't have contracts. You're racing with guys who do it full-time. Not only in the U.S., every time you go to Europe, there are guys your age or guys your skill level, that's their job. They race bikes. What's your goal, and B, what is it like having that sort of extra workload on top of it and trying to do both of these things?
Well, it is hard doing all that stuff. I mean, I do have a few things going on with school, and it's, you know, I, again, really fortunate to have the people on my side that are on my side. Some great professors who are willing to work with me. I go to Union College in Schenectady, New York. We're a big hockey school.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, our men's hockey team won the national championships for D1. Mm-hmm. So it was huge for the school. So a lot of the professors are used to working with high level athletes, which is
okay. Yeah,
it's
great.
It's
yeah.
great for me. So they really make it a lot easier for me, being able to travel every weekend and, you know, do things that maybe not every student can do. But it's still, you know, it is kind of hard. You know, tonight I have to go back and translate some Lucan, you know, on the Civil War and
right.
know, the Latin Civil
right,
War.
Right, right.
So it's, you know, it's kind of challenging in that sense.
I'm sure Van Aert's doing the same thing.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that definitely is, you know, a challenge on top of what you're doing to try to race at this top level. So, you know, back to sort of the first question, like that goal-wise, what is it? What do you hope to get out of this season? Either, you know, just in most instances, people have their sort of shoot for the moon goal and then just your week-to-week, month-to-month goal. So what is it for you?
Again, I just want to be as consistent as possible. I want to try and be successful on, you know, the international stage as well as the domestic. Mapping out the European trips, definitely for the Christmas block, thinking about Coxsida in that block over there. Nationals is always something that's kind of been out of my reach for since I started racing cross. But so if, you know, I'd like to go head to head with Logan this year.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to do and get that off my list, you know.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then from there on to Worlds and, yeah.
So long-term plans, is it, do you want to be a professional bike racer? Is that what you want to do? And is the goal to finish college and then see where that takes you? Or is this, you know, or you do not even think that far ahead about these things?
Oh, absolutely. I love what I'm doing right now. And I know this is what I want to do for a while. You know, I know my legs aren't going to last for forever. But I'm happy with going to school right now, getting that out of the way. Right now it's, I haven't declared a major yet, mm-hmm. but right now I'm studying what works well with cycling right now. So it's, at least it's something to fall back on.
Right.
So I'm still developing through my under 23 years. I'm happy going to school. I'm happy. You know, it's kind of a grind. It's kind of a struggle. But, you know, right now I'm happy with that. And then once I get that out of the way, get a degree, it's I could do whatever I want.
Right.
I feel like I can go all in and who knows? You know, I can go anywhere from there.
After MO1 today, did you feel any extra pressure like you also had? Was it going to make it a longer car ride, you know, or dinner tonight if you didn't?
Well, I mean, there's two sides to that. You know, 9 times out of 10, Emma's the one who's paying for dinner. But she's also the one who always shows me up. So it was good to be on an even field with her now.
It's pretty impressive. Both of you are extremely successful. But, I mean, that had to be pretty cool what she did a couple weeks ago in Richmond and just being able to watch that
It was great. You know, there was a lot of people cheering for her. I was sitting in the Union College library looking at the live feed and, you know, trying not to make any noise, you know, in the middle of the library. But it was like, it was phenomenal just what she did. You know, we're all really, really proud of her. And for her to jump right from that, she didn't take much time off and just kind of get on the cross bike. And
yeah,
she, you know, almost pulled a top five in the C1 in Providence.
Right.
So she's doing it too. She deferred the fall term at Union College. She was accepted to Union College as well as me.
Yeah.
She's going to start there in the winter.
Nice.
So right now she has the luxury of not going to classes. She's just sitting home and training wherever
right.
she wants and
right.
you know, living like a real bike racer. So it's, you know, she's enjoying every step of the way.
Good deal. Well, you know, I mean, New England has this this tradition of families of bike racing. I think it's cool that the Whites are in there as well, and it seems like you guys have a good time.
Yeah, for sure. The, you know, the Keos, the Gogans, the McCormicks, you know, there's, you know, others I'm sure I'm not naming, but it's, you know, I mean, New York isn't technically New England, but I think we're
in there because of the cross scene.
We feel as much a part of the New England scene, and it's great to, you know, there's a lot of great people there. So
awesome. Well, I will let you go, but thanks for taking the time to talk with us on Crosshairs Radio, and we'll look for you racing tomorrow, and then everyone else will probably hear this on Tuesday.
All right. Great. Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, there you have it. Great conversation with Curtis. And next up, we have his sister, Emma White. We talked to Emma on the phone from their home in Dellinson, New York on Monday morning, chatted about her experience at Road Worlds and also the transition into the cyclocross season. So here's Emma. Great weekend in Baltimore, 2 wins at Charm City Cyclocross. Before we get into that, can we just go back and, you know, talk a little bit, or can you give me the background on how you got into cycling?
Yeah. Well, my older brother, Curtis, raced before I did. And before that, my parents never raced, but they were always active. I think we just kind of knew all the right people and fell in love with it, and I couldn't stop after we started.
So where did you start? Did you start in cyclocross, or did you start on the road or mountain bike? What was the first bike race you were in?
I started on the road, and it was like a lot of kid races, and then we met a couple people. I think the Keos were a big supporter of cyclocross, and they told us to like try it out, and so we did. We went to a couple local races, and I think just knowing the right people, we got involved with cyclocross from road.
Yeah, and then going on from there, I mean, even up until this year, huge success on the road. You know, I know you've talked about it before, but just, you know, for people who may not know, and it'd be crazy if they didn't, you got 2 silver medals at the World Championships this year in Richmond, in the road, in the time trial. Give us a little bit of what that experience was like, and just, you know, being on that team, being in the U.S. racing for Worlds, and then just the, you know, the experiences of the accomplishment.
It was unlike anything I've ever experienced before, and I don't know if I'll ever experience anything like it again. It was a really, really cool experience, super happy with it. I'm really happy for Chloe, who won. And the whole USA Cycling, they did a great job, and it was incredible.
So I got the opportunity to see your road race on Governor's Hill, that final climb before the finish. And it really looked like, you know, you were with a group of, what, I think, three other women, and that was really where you were able to separate yourself. Just talk to me a little bit, just since I was there, talk to me about that course, and especially that finish, and what was going through your head when you were coming in with that chasing group.
Yeah, it wasn't a long race compared to the other ones I've done this season, but it was hard. The hills, Governor's was a tough one just because it was so close to the finish, and finishing straight was long. It was just under a kilometer long, so the race certainly didn't end when you got off Governor's. But I was in a group of three, and we were almost caught in the last lap up 23rd, which was the second to last big climb on the cobbles. So I knew I didn't really have much of a choice other than to nail it. So up Governor's, I made the break away from the other girl I was with, and Chloe was already up the road. She had already won, and I made the break and just kept going to the finish.
Coming from that, and which, you know, is such an extreme high, and then you went straight into cyclocross. What was the transformation like? And you know, obviously you were on some great form for Worlds. How long do you keep that? And, you know, what's your plan for racing cross going forward this season?
I didn't want to miss Providence or Baltimore. Didn't want to take a break after Worlds. But now, since they're not racing for another 3 weeks, I'm going to take a little bit of time to recover and then start, cross-specific training leading up to Cincinnati for the Pan Ams.
After that, are you heading to Europe at all?
It's still undecided. I was injured last year, tore my PCL in a race. So I don't have very many UCI points right now. So I'm still just trying to get back into things.
Well,
I'm hoping to go for Europe.
Yeah, your ranking in the UCI probably took a pretty good jump after the weekend.
I hope so. We'll see you tomorrow.
The decision to race in Baltimore versus going to Wisconsin?
It was a closer option. And with my brother in school, both of my brothers, Harrison is in middle school and Curtis is in college. It was a long way to travel all the way to Madison. And, obviously there was a pretty heavy field there, which I wish that, there was a little bit more mixed between Baltimore and Madison, but it was still a good field in Baltimore. Yeah, and Curtis had been to Charm City before. I had never been. They had only great things to say about it, so it just sounds like it was an event we didn't want to miss.
It was great. It's awesome to have you all down. There was sort of a neat little setup that your family had, a little different than the normal Cannondale setup we're used to seeing at races. Tell everybody exactly, what the configuration is and the drive down and how you all got everything down there.
Yeah, well, it was our first time renting a U-Haul, a little trailer. We hooked it up to our Highlander, and then we had a tent and bike rack. So it was the three of us and then teammate Cooper Wilsey. It was perfect. I think we'd do it again for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And just not to get left out of the conversation. So Curtis, won the men's, you won the women's, and then your brother also raced. How did he do on the weekend?
He did really well. It was a little bit of a different category than we're used to in New England. He was in the category 1, 2, and 3 juniors. So, and I think that's not the same as the category he has in New England. So he had a really good race on Sunday, ended up 6th against his big kids. So he's really happy with it. It was an incredible race.
Great.
Strong the whole time.
What is the future for you? It seems like in the women's side, especially in the professional level, that more racers have to do or want to do more disciplines, you know, most likely because the money isn't the same as the men's side. So you see people out there like Mariana Voss, like Pauline Ferrand-Prevot, who race on the road, race mountain bikes, and then also race cyclocross. Have you figured out a discipline you want to concentrate on more, or just pretty much doing everything?
I think I'm just going to stay with cyclocross and road for as long as I can. You know, not doing mountain bike or track or anything, but I'm just hoping to balance the two. I think so far it's worked pretty well, and you know, my teams have been really good with it, my coach, and it's working for other people. So yeah, I'm hoping I don't have to choose.
So who's coaching you now, and how? What is the does the fact that you're doing cyclocross and road and both at a high level, does that have any effect on the training? I mean, how does the training change from season to season?
Yeah, I'm coached by Kristen Armstrong. So, you know, an incredible road rider. She never raced cyclocross, but she also coaches Katie Antino, who is killing it out there as well. So it's working really well. This is my second year being coached by her. Last year I had an injury, so I didn't really have too much cyclocross training, like regular training, I guess, but it's working really well. Right now, I kind of didn't make a huge cyclocross training jump from road worlds, just kind of stayed on that form. After I take some time off, then we're going to do some specific cyclocross.
For Baltimore, you know, it seemed almost like that time trial training probably came into play, because once you got that gap, it was just staying on it. But for the people that were at Charm City Cross, or even those that weren't, can you talk a little bit about the course, you know, what, how you found the course, and maybe even just in comparison to courses you've already done this year, like Providence?
Yeah. Well, Providence is the only course done this year other than Baltimore, but it was definitely a power course, whereas Providence, I think, was more of a technical course. The ground is a little bit soft, so it was really, you really had to dig, especially going up some climbs. There were long, like, straight climbs that were, it felt slow, but it felt slow for everyone. But it was a gorgeous weekend. It dried out pretty quick, especially by the time of my race. Sun was out, and It got pretty fast towards the end of the race.
What are your plans now? What do you, my understanding is you've deferred from Union College for years. So what are you looking for going forward? What is your professional cycling outlook look like, and what are the plans?
I deferred only until January. So I'm starting in January at Union College. And that decision was made because of road worlds for the most part. It was convenient for cyclocross, but I don't plan to do that next year.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's great that you and Curtis both are following this path that some, you know, experts may say isn't doable, to be racing at such a high level and then go to school full time. And, you know, personally, I think it's great that you all are making that work.
It's not easy. I definitely have it a little bit easier than Curtis right now. But I know how it is from last year and with high school. It's tricky, but I think we've got a pretty good system, and our teachers are incredible. They're really supportive of it. And my family, they're, you know, we've got a lot of people behind us.
So other than racing bikes, what are you doing with this extra time that you have until January?
I haven't really figured it out. I haven't really had any downtime since I got home. A lot of resting and training. I bought a pumpkin yesterday.
There you go. That's
not
something.
last week. I'm feeling a little bit home crazy. Need to get out.
Yeah, but you know, being home and resting, probably haven't done that for a while, so not the worst thing.
Yeah, it's so true.
When I first started in the crosshairs, like 2009, I think it was, I, for whatever reason, was obsessed with what people ate for breakfast on race days, and then I brought it back up when I was talking to Powers a week ago. So what's your typical race breakfast? race day breakfast?
Well, we stay at the Courtyard Marriott for a lot of race weekends. We tend to like that. So they have that nice little bistro breakfast. So usually it's oatmeal or an egg sandwich. And with my races later in the day, I usually have a bagel for like my second breakfast. But it differs. I'm not a little picky breakfast person.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join us, and enjoy your rest day.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
And there you have it. That is episode 6 of Crosshairs Radio. Thanks to Curtis and Emma White for taking the time to join us. You can follow them on Twitter. Curtis is at Curtis J. White, and Emma is at Emma Bean CX. And thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with episode 7, and hope you join us for that.